P-minus 91. Principal Point, Solar City, Sanctuary. Dan McCarthy knew that his chances of returning to Earth would evidently depend on winning the favor of the principal and being granted his permission to leave. That this individual was in charge would have been clear even without his title making it explicitly known, given that the Smalls outside, who had used some unknown force to overpower Leisha's craft and bring the humans to the ground, had peacefully but urgently marched them to meet this mysterious figure. After roughly as long as the humans would have guessed, their elevator came to a gentle halt. Dan wasn't sure what to expect when he stepped out of the elevator. For a few seconds, his mind maintained its frustrating and unfortunate habit of exploring worst-case scenarios, quickly settling on the possibility that, somehow, his fate might be at the mercy of an architect. That didn't make sense. But it didn't have to for the idea to infect his psyche and send his heart rate soaring. When the door did open, it quickly became clear that Dan's worst fear would not be realized. This wasn't to say that his mind was immediately eased, but his feelings didn't get any worse. Even from a distance, it was clear that the principal, seated with his back to the incoming group, was of the same race as Depp and the others. Without a word, he held up a small hand to call his guests forward without turning to face them.
The promise of our god's return was foretold, the alien said, gazing adoringly at the statue on the other side of a glass wall that stretched across his entire top-floor lookout post.
The statue, remarkably, stood even taller than this lookout point. It was very difficult for Dan or any of the others to accurately judge a scale, but he was stunned to realize, when squinting his eyes and mentally comparing it to human-made skyscrapers, none of which would have reached even halfway up the statue, that this monument, therefore, had to be at least a mile high. The shape of its head, from the back, certainly looked more human than small, but Dan couldn't be certain about this, since the figure portrayed in the colossal statue seemed to be wearing some kind of hooded garment. Hair would have been a dead giveaway, seeing as the Smalls had none, at least on any areas uncovered by their shabby clothing, but no such clue was forthcoming.
"Why can't we see the front of that thing?" Billy asked aloud, frustrating both Dan and Tara with his irresponsible tone. He didn't mean anything by it, but the words certainly lacked reverence. With something close to a scowl on his face as he spun the seat of his platform around, the principal replied,
"That thing is a humble but full-hearted tribute to our mother of sacrifice. Praise be upon her,"
Depp interjected, reciting this phrase as the others had recited another whenever the principal was mentioned. Somewhat surprisingly, his clothes were no different to those of the general population, assuming the group Dan and the others had been greeted by were the general population and not a small inner circle. The garments were the whitest Dan had seen, presumably because the principal spent most or perhaps even all of his time indoors and manning this lookout. The most noticeable difference between the principal and his subjects was that, incredibly, he was even smaller in stature than they were. Even though he was seated, it was clear that this small was extra small, and Dan couldn't help but wonder if this was why he had been chosen for his role as principal. He couldn't help but wonder if a diminutive stature was prized among the Smalls, and that an individual born of exceptionally small size might be considered special in the same way great height had been considered indicative of great wisdom in certain human cultures. An inversion like this, given everything else he had been faced with in recent years, would hardly be the most surprising extraterrestrial cultural quirk Dan had encountered.
"No wonder it's from high he guards," Tara silently joked, out of surprise more than mockery. "Put him on the ground and he'd be staring at our toes." "We gaze upon her only from split rock and only at the moment of eclipse,"
the infant-sized principal replied. His voice was projected clearly, the cadence identical to Depp's, but the pitch ever so slightly higher.
"Her position in the heart of Solar City is no accident, and our tributes are paid only when the light does its greatest justice to her poise and grace."
Well, there goes our hope of seeing that, Dan thought. "How often are your solar eclipses?" Billy asked, seemingly unfazed by his earlier faux pas.
Oh, and it's Billy, Billy Kendrick. I have to say I'm a fan of your work. I studied pyramids for a good chunk of my life, and I never saw anything like those.
Why, thank you, Billy Kendrick,
the principal replied with a smile. Clearly, there were no hard feelings. Billy smiled back. But about the eclipses?
Approximately every 4 years.
Unsure whether the principal was using the word year to represent a unit of time he assumed the humans would understand to mean their equivalent of a solar year on Earth, or whether he was referring to however long it took for Sanctuary to orbit its sun, Billy tried to phrase his next double question in a more relative manner that would sacrifice precision for certainty. How long is your day relative to your year, and how long is your year relative to your lifespan? He asked.
An inquiring mind,
the principal observed, nodding in an approving and truly uncannily human manner.
On earlier visits, it was recorded that our gods stated the length of a day is all but identical on every inhabited world known to them. Sanctuary's year lasts approximately 400 of its days, exhibiting similar orbital mechanics to our previous home. That is part of why Sanctuary was chosen. We are well suited to these conditions. As for your second question, our average lifespan is a half century of years, which visiting gods have described as an excellent number, long enough to develop meaningful individual wisdom, but with generational replacement frequent enough to maintain dynamic ingenuity and to propel our collective wisdom ever higher.
On this point, Dan had noticed that the Smalls appeared to display signs of aging similar to humans in terms of things like skin elasticity. Dan didn't know how old any of the group outside had been, and nor did he know the age of the principal, but he felt relatively confident that he would have been able to arrange them in order of age with a fair degree of success. This quite simply couldn't be done on New Kerguelen, on the other hand, since the only age distinctions Dan had ever been able to draw among messengers ended when they reached adulthood. I have to be absolutely clear on something, Dan stated. You refer to these gods, and we're all inferring a lot from what you say, but when your ancient ancestors were first relocated, did they see and speak to these gods? Do you really know what they looked like, or is the statue based on any assumptions? As Dan asked this, his mind wasn't sure what kind of answer it was looking for. He didn't know what were the best and worst things he could hear in reply, or indeed, what were the most and least likely. The Smalls, their principal included, talked about the gods in ways that sometimes struck Dan as inconsistent, with Depp first stating, "Our gods have returned," while looking at Dan and Tara, but with both he and the principal having since continued to say, "Our gods," while talking to the humans, when it seemed like you would have been more appropriate if this was what they believed. A child didn't address its mother with a call of my mother, and Dan didn't quite understand why the Smalls were doing something akin to that when talking to his group. They had used second-person pronouns, which was something Dan consciously noticed after first considering the broader point. A large part of him thought he was likely getting unnecessarily caught up in thoughts on the grammar of a race whose scarcely credible ability to speak English at all should have been all he could think about. But he still couldn't shake the question.
Our ancestors interacted directly with our gods and recorded every detail,
the principal replied with another perfectly human nod.
Our saviors, our gods, are tall beings, with heads more ovular than our own, and the power to cross gateways between worlds. That was written and recorded, and was confirmed upon their last return. They promised to grant us the power to cross their gates, and they promised one day to return again. Now, blessed be our Mother of Sacrifice. Praise be upon her,
Depp chimed in.
Return they have,
the principal concluded, having trailed off and paused briefly to allow Depp's interjection. The principal smiled warmly at Dan. Dan masked a gulp.
Everything is relative, he silently communicated to Leisha, Tara, and Billy without breaking eye contact with the principal. For whatever reason, they've explicitly implied that we're their gods without saying it outright, and this guy is saying the gods who visited in bygone days are taller than them, that they have longer skulls than them, and that they've returned. Because everything is relative, the modern Smalls think that the description their ancestors passed down is about us. I don't know what's going on with the statue, but this tall with long skulls description? Well, I think it's pretty clear that they're confusing us with someone else. It's not just pretty clear, Billy said, cutting in with a silent thought of his own and sending it to the full group. They absolutely think we brought them here, and they absolutely think we built that gate. I don't know how we handle this and how the hell we ever make it home, because it's 100% clear. They think we're the architects.